This is Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS.
For co-host Bea Bonner, I'm Randy Eccles. The latest from NPR News is coming up in 20 minutes at the top of the hour. You can read about past Community Voices segments and listen on demand to most of them at nprillinois.org. To conclude today's Community Voices coverage of the opening of the UIS Center for Lincoln Studies, moderator Ann Mosley asked the panelists favorite Lincoln quotes.
This brings us to the next question that I have for our panelists. We have two panelists here who have written quite extensively and have been interviewed on particular quotes relating to Abraham Lincoln. As we look back on this past year, there's been a flurry of activity among politicians and well-known individuals in quoting Abraham Lincoln, either correctly or incorrectly. My big question for Dr. Burlingame and Dr. Christian McWhirter is, based on some of the interviews that you have had and some of the articles you've been a part of, how do you think Lincoln has impacted our society? And also, what are some of the quotes that you've been hearing quite a bit of that have been proven correct and incorrect, and why? Christian, why don't we start with you first?
I'm lucky enough to be the Lincoln historian at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum. And so we're kind of a go-to spot for the media a lot of times when they're looking to fact check things about Lincoln, and particularly quotes about Lincoln. And election years are always when that spikes, because everybody wants to quote Lincoln. The Lincoln is a almost universally revered American leader, and he was the best writer we ever had as president. You can always find a Lincoln quote to support whatever point you're making. The problem is sometimes either the quote's not real or you've gotten it wrong. And so they come to us a lot for that. The big one that we got a lot this year is from Lincoln's Lyceum address, when Lincoln says, "At what point then is the approach of danger to be expected? I answer, if it ever reach us, it must spring up amongst us. It cannot come from abroad. If destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. As a nation of freemen, we must live through all time or die by suicide." I've gotten more requests this year to fact check that particular quote as it shows up on social media or in political speeches, and it's almost never right. It's almost never that actual quote. It's always just some version of Lincoln saying, "America will never be destroyed by invasion. It will be destroyed internally." But that tells you something about Lincoln, right? Again, it tells you that people are, I'm being a little facetious here, but it shows you that people are always turning to Lincoln for wisdom. Lincoln still remains kind of our national sage. That's important for all of us working in academia or in public history to remember that, you know, Lincoln's legacy is an important one, and dealing directly, particularly with Lincoln's words, which is something I think we all do, is important work, because those words are ones that people will turn to. They have turned to for generations, and they'll continue to do so. On the one hand, I'm always answering these things, but I'm happy to be able to do so, because it's good to get the record out there. And if it encourages people to read what Lincoln actually wrote and think about Lincoln's actual words, I think that's a good thing.
Thank you, Christian. Dr. Burlingame.
The most striking question that I've been asked in that department is not about a quote, but about Lincoln's reputation. As you may know, the San Francisco School Board has decided to rename the Abraham Lincoln High School because Abraham Lincoln had a stain on his record that really justifies removing his name from the high school. And that is that he authorized the execution of 38 Dakota Sioux Indians in 1862 who had participated in an uprising which led to the deaths of hundreds of settlers and tens of thousands rendered homeless in Minnesota. When the rebellion was put down by the Army then held trials, and 303 of the Dakota Sioux were sentenced to death for having participated in massacres and rapes and the like. Lincoln was told that if he didn't approve all 303 death sentences, he would be very unpopular in Minnesota, and the settlers in Minnesota would then take the law into their own hands and lynch every Dakota Sioux that they could find. Lincoln said, no, don't you dare go out and carry out these executions. Send me the trial records. I want to see how the trials were conducted. me and two lawyers in the Interior Department went over these cases very closely, and they discovered all kinds of irregularities. Trials that lasted 15 minutes, no defense counsel, no appeal, no jury trial, no right of self-defense. And he overruled 264 of those death sentences. 38 were carried out, but only after they had gone over the record clearly to show that they were guilty of murder or rape or both. And he was very careful to distinguish between those who were involved in actual battles and those who were involved in massacres. So the notion that Lincoln was somehow hostile to Indians because he had authorized the execution of 38 is to overlook the fact that he spared the life of 264 and was told that this was going to be politically dangerous for the Republican Party and would injure his chances for re-election. And he said in response, "I could not afford to kill men for votes."
Thank you, Dr. Burlingame. It shows how Lincoln really thought through a lot of his decisions. He didn't have a lot of knee-jerk reactions. He spent time, he thought about it, and he was able to come up with decisions. We have discussed quite a bit about the legacy of Lincoln here in Illinois. As we've all mentioned, in one way or another, Lincoln was a very eloquent president. He was a very good writer, though having only a year's worth of education. He loved to learn, and he made tough decisions. So in studying Lincoln's writings and showing them in our historic sites and showcasing the legacy of Lincoln, I have asked all of our panelists to pick a quote that they really admire about Abraham Lincoln, something that really speaks to them. There are many quotes to choose from. Lincoln's vast collected works can be found online. You can find quotes that were said by him, some that were not. But all of us have been affected by Lincoln's words. They have shaped our actions. They have caused us to think. And Lincoln's words sometimes have caused us to laugh quite a bit, which I think he would be very happy about. The fact that his jokes are still a little bit funny today. As we end our panel discussion today, and we continue with the marathon of celebrations for Lincoln's 212th birthday, I'm going to ask each of our panelists to tell us the quote, and of course, as historians, the source of the quote, and let us know what particular set of words that Lincoln was able to string together are very important to you. We'll start with Tim Good.
So my quote is, "I have never had a feeling politically that did not spring from the sentiments embodied in the Declaration of Independence." Of course, Abraham Lincoln delivered this quote at February 22nd, 1861 at Independence Hall. And I think the best reference for everyone to check on this quote is the collected works.
All right, Sarah.
It's hard to pick a favorite, but since you forced us to, mine comes from his farewell address that he gave as he was leaving Springfield to go to Washington. And to me, this quote sums up the significance of his time in Illinois and his humility. And that's, "To this place and the kindness of these people, I owe everything."
Thank you, Sarah. And I believe he came up with that speech on the spot. Michelle Crowell mentioned in one of the posts on Facebook for preparing for Lincoln's birthday celebration, she states that in the Library of Congress, there is a record of Nicolay and Hay rushing on the train to write down the speech. And you can find that particular record in the Library of Congress presidential papers. Dr. Graham Peck.
At the end of his Peoria address, which was a long 3-hour address, and you can find it in the collected works online, Lincoln was speaking about his dissatisfaction, his profound unhappiness, in fact, with the striking down of anti-slavery policy in the Western territories. He told his hearers, "Our Republican robe has been soiled and trailed in the dust. Let us wash it white in the spirit, if not the blood, of the revolution." And those might not be exactly correct. I'm quoting from memory. I think those are great words because it reminds us of the need to be willing to replenish our country in times of need, that we need to step in and really contribute and recognize that we're all a part of that process.
Thank you, Dr. Peck. Dr. McWhirter.
I have the privilege of getting to work with a lot of artifacts, but especially documents by Lincoln and his family and his contemporaries. Like Sarah, I couldn't really pick a favorite. One of the things that I get to help with is the decision of what we put on exhibit at the museum. And we change out our treasures gallery, which is a guy where we, you know, put out our best, most interesting stuff at this time, at Lincoln's birthday. And so we just put out a new slate of documents. The quote I've selected is from a document I selected for display. Lincoln wrote these notes to himself. We have all these notes where Lincoln is trying to work through ideas. And one of those notes is what we now call the definition of democracy. I think it's a really interesting document. It's great to exhibit because it's just one page and you can read it. It's short. It shows Lincoln grappling with the issue of slavery, his idea of democracy, and almost kind of setting up the line for himself of how he's going to shape his politics moving forward. And so Lincoln says, "As I would not be a slave, so I would not be a master. This expresses my idea of democracy. Whatever differs from this, to the extent of the difference, is no democracy."
Thank you, Dr. McWhirter. Justin.
One of my favorite quotes that we enjoy sharing with especially student groups, school groups, but also families who visit the old state capitol, as you noted in your article in the Springfield paper, significance of being present in the old state capitol, but specifically in Representative Hall. And one of our favorite quotes to share with those individuals in that space is actually the opening line from the House Divided speech. It's known more famously for a quote from the Bible, but Lincoln had a line actually preceding that and introducing that. And he says, "If we could first know where we are and whither we are tending or to what place, we could then better judge what to do and how to do it." And I think it really illustrates Lincoln's capacity as a listener. Someone who's writing a speech has to know their audience. And Lincoln was extremely talented at finding a way to bring context and calm, I think, at the beginning of his remarks in order to bring people together. And so I've always enjoyed that line. And it reminds us that we are in a place that provides, most importantly, at the beginning of our declaration, for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for all. So that is a particularly touching quote for me, and I think it brings a lot of focus to us as we remind ourselves of the responsibility of being the stewards and those who share these historic places.
Thank you, Justin. I quoted Hamilton. The first time you'll see Hamilton and Lincoln collide, Representative Hall was the room where it happened that kind of kicked off Lincoln's rise to fame. To this day remains a very symbolic spot, at least the way I see it in Lincoln's life. So thank you so much for preserving that place. Dr. Burlingame.
One of my favorite quotes is from a speech that he gives in Chicago in July of 1858 as the senatorial campaign against Stephen A. Douglas gets underway. And the day before Lincoln delivered this address, Stephen A. Douglas had given a big speech in which he played the race card shamelessly, which he was going to do throughout the campaign. He was a blatant race baiter, appealing to white prejudice against black people in the most flagrant, outrageous ways. And Lincoln concludes his speech, which is in effect the kickoff speech for the campaign, with these words to end his speech. And he says, "My friends, I've detained you about as long as I desire to do, and I have only this to say. Let us discard all this quibbling about this man and the other man, this race and that race and the other race being inferior, and therefore they must be placed in an inferior position. Discarding our standard that we have left us, let us discard all these things and unite as one people throughout this land until we shall once more stand up declaring that all men are created equal."
Thank you, Dr. Burlingame. That was a great quote for us to end our grand opening on, is to make sure that we continue the great work of Abraham Lincoln, to remember that we are all brothers and sisters in this democracy. And it should be our goal as American citizens to help shape the nation to form a more perfect union. By gathering all of us together today to remember the life and legacy of Abraham Lincoln on his birthday and to open a center that will help promote the discovery of Lincoln. I want to thank all of you for being here and sharing your wisdom and your love for the 16th president and the place where he lived. I want to encourage you to travel among the Lincoln sites. Go to the places where he had lived, walked, made friends, may have wrestled with a pig at one point, told a quick joke or two to a few friends, raised a few arguments. Maybe he decided to say some choice words to the local newspaper, or where he met his wife and shared a home, spreading the love of democracy, spreading the love of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. Maybe had a sad moment or two. All of these and more you can find at our local historic sites, museums, and universities. I encourage you to travel out and walk the path that Lincoln walked. Discover Lincoln's Illinois and Illinois' Lincoln. Thank you.
Acting Director of the new UIS Center for Lincoln Studies, Ann Mosley, urging you to take advantage of the rich Lincoln heritage in Central Illinois by getting out to explore it when safe. Thanks to the UIS Center for Lincoln Studies, Acting Director Ann Mosley and UIS Chancellor Karen Whitney, along with the panelists, Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum Historian Christian Werder, Lincoln Home National Historic Site Superintendent Timothy Good, Looking for Lincoln and Lincoln National Heritage Area Executive Director Sarah Watson, Illinois Department of Natural Resources Superintendent Justin Blanford, and UIS Distinguished Professors Michael Burlingame and Graham Peck. You can read about past Community Voices segments and listen on demand to most of them at nprillinois.org. Suggest a guest. Email communityvoices@nprillinois.org and we'll explore interviewing them. Community Voices airs weekdays at noon and Saturdays at 5 p.m. on NPR Illinois, 91.9 UIS. For B. Bonner, I'm Randy Eccles.